Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news from the WordPress community. Now, welcome your hosts, David Wormsley and Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 375, entitled Insights from Marcel Boatsman on Static Site Hosting with Kinsta. It was published on Thursday, the 30th of May, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and before we begin the chat with Marcel, a few bits of housekeeping. The first thing to say is thank you so much to anybody who attended the Page Builder Summit last week. It was Page Builder Summit version 7. It was very successful, lots of engagement, lots of amazing talks. So from the bottom of my heart, sincere thanks to the speakers and the attendees and also the sponsors. It really was a truly remarkable event, and I'm deeply grateful for anybody who in any way, shape or form was involved in that summit. The other thing to mention is that if you would like to advertise on the WP Builds podcast, we can make that happen for you. We have a very specific WordPress audience, and if you've got a product or service you'd like to get in front of that audience, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. A bit like these two fine companies. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place. Invoice clients, get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. Once more, go.me/WPBuilds. We're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. That's bluehost.com/cloud. And sincere thanks go to both GoDaddy Pro and Bluehost for their support of the WP Builds podcast. Right, what have we got for you today? Well, I'm chatting, as I said at the top of the show, with Marcel Boatsman from Kinsta. Now, Kinsta recently did a big rebrand, but something else which may have escaped your attention is that they have also launched static WordPress site hosting. So Marcel's here today to tell us all about that. What even is a static site? How does it work? What are the intricacies? What are the cost implications, the environmental implications, and so much more? Turns out they have a really very, very generous free tier as well, where you can have many, many websites completely hosted for free. So you might be interested in that. Anyway, I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast today by Marcel Boatsman. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Nathan. How are you doing?
I can see Marcel on a screen in front of me. I know, dear listener, you can't see him, but he actually opened his mouth because I got his name right. It's after only a few tries. I'm great. Thank you.
We're not going to say we practiced this.
No, we're not going to say. Oh, we just did. Never mind. No. Marcel's joining me today. He's coming from Kinsta. Kinsta is a company that I am sure that if you're in the WordPress space, you've heard of before. Very, very well known as a sort of managed, dedicated, if you like, WordPress host, really drilling down on all the WordPress things. But we're going to talk today about some, well, not new, not really new anymore, but new to this podcast anyway, and possibly new to you. They've got a static site hosting option, so we're going to drill down into that. First of all, the banal question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Marcel, would you just tell us about yourself, your journey with WordPress, including the, you know, the 800-mile walk thing. Actually, you don't have to mention that.
How but far just, do you want to go back?
Yeah, tell us anything you like.
Well, it all started in, 2009? Yes, and I'm going to do a summary on this. I'm not going to do the full details.
Okay.
I started my own company doing WordPress development, plugin development, theme development, maintenance, the whole thing. And after about 8-9 years, I was about ready with those challenges, started looking at other opportunities. And somehow I got the thought of walking to Berlin from my hometown, which is near Rotterdam. And that was in 2019 for WordCamp Europe in Berlin.
Nice.
And Kinstyle was my main sponsor because I still had my own company then. So I needed to hire someone to, well, take care of my clients while I was walking. And Kinstyle was my main sponsor because I already had some websites with them. And during my walk, I had a lot of time to think about, okay, what's my future? What do I want to do? Do I want to start something new? Do I want to hire people or maybe work for a company? And Kinsta was on my list, and it was actually on spot number one to contact them and see if they would have a place for me to work. And so I basically sent their CEO, Mark Gavalda, I sent him a Twitter DM saying, hey, Mark, thanks for sponsoring me for my walk to Berlin. I kind of want to work with you. What's your thought? And after that, within, I believe, 2 weeks, I had a lot of conversations going with some people at Kinsta. And I was hired and started on April 1st, 2020. And that's 4 years ago, a little bit more over 4 years ago. And I've done marketing for the Dutch market. And right now I'm doing business development for the Dutch market and the German-speaking market, which is Germany, Austria, and Switzerland.
Nice. Kinsta is, like I said, a very, very well-known company. I don't know if the growth is still as exponential as it felt like it was several years ago, but, you know, almost everybody listening to this podcast will have heard of what you do. You can go to kinsta.com. So that's with a K, K-I-N-S-T-A.com. You can go and check out the normal bits and pieces that they offer. But maybe do this instead. Go to Google and Google Kinsta static site hosting. Try that. And probably the first page that you're going to get to is their static site hosting for free, it says on the page here. So this is something that we're not really familiar with, I don't think, with hosting companies offering static site hosting. Certainly when you came out with this a few months ago, I kind of read the email, I was like, whoa, that's kind of interesting. Don't normally see that. Normally it's about, you know, the hardware and the CPUs and the one-click install and all that kind of stuff. But this is something a little bit different. So there's going to be a proportion of people who don't know what static site hosting is. So let's tackle that technical piece first. What is static site hosting, and why would you ever want to do that?
Well, there are multiple reasons why you want to do that. But before we dive into that, I would like to explain a little bit what a static site basically is. And we are, I believe the majority of the audience is very familiar with WordPress. And WordPress out of the box does not produce a static website. You know, it runs on a database, it runs with PHP. Of course, there's some JavaScript involved and CSS, HTML, of course. But mostly, and if you don't consider caching, you know, every request to a WordPress website requires the server to do something. You know, get your content from the database, produce a HTML page, and push that to your browser. So looking at a static website, that's basically back to, what is it, 90s something, last century, that is. And people created a website locally, maybe with Frontpage or any other old, what is it, Dreamweaver or whatever. Times, you would build a website locally that would like export as an HTML-based website, and you could just upload those files to any kind of server around there, and that would be your website. So it would basically consist of static files which do not do anything on the server. You know, the server just sends the files to the browser, and that's it. And it's basically consists of HTML, some CSS, JavaScript, all static files, and of course we have other things like images and maybe movies or videos, but that is basically it. And the server doesn't have to do anything else than send those files over.
Perfect. So an analogy, okay, no, actually, I want to just take that back a little bit further, because I know that the audience for this podcast is fairly broad, and everything that you just said made perfect sense to me, but I'm just going to reprise that a little bit. So every time you visit a WordPress, a regular WordPress web page, there's a whole ton of things going on in the background, little conversations that are happening saying, how do I actually make this page? Which bits need to be deployed to that page? What's going to go in the header? Now what's going to go in the content? Is there anything to go in the footer? Is there a loop going on somewhere where we're going to cycle through the post? And all of this happens kind of in a heartbeat, but nevertheless it's happening, and it's consuming resources, it's using up power, and it's slowing things down a little bit. Now, you know, whether or not you believe WordPress out of the box is slow is up to you, but you know, typically it's fairly fast. But the minute you start piling on plugins and things do start to slow down. So there's this whole big conversation happening every time you request a page. Whereas what you're saying is, with a static site, all you say is, give me the finished page. And you give the finished page. All of the construction work, the conversations that had to happen in code to make that page, they've already happened and been stored somewhere. And you just say, give me the finished thing. And because it's the finished thing, you just go, yeah, there it is. Like just one thing right there. And it's much, much quicker. So speed is a thing?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else that's a thing apart from just speed?
Speed is a thing. It's also cost. You know, if you have a website that requires processing, whether it's a small WordPress site or a large e-commerce website or even a forum or something like that, you need to have processing done on the server, and processing costs money. You know, some hosters, they provide data on their website. You know, if you want package A, you get one CPU, you get this amount of RAM, you get this amount of storage. And of course, storage is something that's also necessary for static file hosting, static site hosting, but you don't need any processing. You know, the only thing that needs to be done, sure, there is a little bit of processing done because a file needs to be retrieved from the hard disk and needs to be sent, but that's the only processing that takes place. So if you want to do static site hosting, and if you want to build a static site, you could dramatically reduce costs of hosting your website.
I guess,
of course, depending on what kind of site it is.
Yeah, I guess another cost, which not a monetary cost, is the environmental impact. This is an area which is increasingly getting attention. You know, I'm seeing more and more things popping up about sustainability is basically the best word to use, I guess, about the sustainability. And obviously, if you are consuming CPU cycles and hundreds of things are happening to create a page, that's going to go through, you know, joules of energy. That's got to be, you know, in many cases that'll be kind of burning carbon or something like that, you know. Whereas in this thing, only one thing is happening, so there is also that environmental impact as well. So Google will love it because it's fast. The environment will like it more because it's less polluting. This is,
yeah, well, it takes way less energy, you know, and that's basically it. For every request to a WordPress website, you know, leaving cache out of the picture here, needs energy, needs more energy than just sending a file over. And if you have a website that basically is a static website for the user, you know, if you have a blog, you know, if you have a small company website with just some pages telling the visitors what your company is, who is working for it, you know, it basically can be transformed into a static website because nothing really happens on the website for a visitor. You know, there's no active things happening there. There's no cart. There's no processing needed on the back end. And if you have a site like that, it might be a real good candidate to see, okay, what happens if we make this a static website? And that could dramatically decrease the power usage.
So there are, by the sounds of it, there are some scenarios where static websites are definitely, you know, this is worth considering, but there may well be other areas where you really do need that server to be part of the equation, because I think you mentioned e-commerce. So let's imagine like a WooCommerce store or something like that. That you kind of need all of that, right? Because you need to have the cart being updated. You need to be able to, I don't know, there needs to be form fields in there so that you can pay for things and what have you. So the best fit is a website which doesn't really change all that much. You might describe it as a brochure website. Yeah. So I just said that. I'm not saying you said that, but is that broadly right?
Yeah, you can say that. And if you have a website where you don't need people to log in, that's a thing, because logging in, you know, that requires some checking on the back end. It requires a database with the username and password, and anything else, you know, might be eligible to turn into a static website.
Okay. Funnily enough, I'm just imagining myself browsing around the internet, looking at like local companies where I live, you know, like the plumber and the lawyer and what have you. They're not really logging people in. They're not really having dynamic things on there. I mean, maybe the most dynamic thing would just be a form, like a contact us form. But aside from that, it's basically static. And that seems to be the majority. So there's a real business case. If you're a website builder, there's a real legitimate reason for doing this. Just on that point, how do we handle things like forms? Are there any possible ways of handling forms within our WordPress website? Can you bind a form to the static site, or do you have to use like a third party WooFoo?
Both options are true. You know, you can, if we go into the last option, which is using a third party, you can include some JavaScript on your static website, which actually loads the contact form functionality in the browser instead of loading it on the server. And all checking is being done in the browser and data is being sent to that third party. So that would require some processing, but not on your site, because it's offloaded to that third party. The other thing that can happen, that if you have a WordPress website and you use Gravity Forms, for instance, or Contact Form 7 for your forms, you could actually still have that WordPress website being available on the internet, but not bound to a public domain or something, and generate a static website that generates that forms for you. And at the moment you press the submit button, it will contact your WordPress site, which is somewhere hidden, and then basically performs all the checking and the storage of the data in that form.
Okay. I mean, we can explore that in greater depth, but I don't think that's probably the what we need to do. But the idea is you can use third parties, and there are certain ways that you could integrate something like, and you mentioned a couple there. I'm imagining maybe that's the architecture that you've got. Gravity Forms and Contact Form 7 are options that you can use with your platform. Okay, that's interesting. They're two very big hitters in the WordPress space. Okay, so how the heck does the actual static site get built? Because obviously it has to be pre-built so that when the page is requested, that page already is somewhere. What's going on? Is it like some sort of Google spidery thing where you bring your WordPress website to life for a period of time? It sort of spiders all of the different pages, you know, following all the links like the Google bot would do. And then what do? Do you just shut the WordPress website down? Like, so it doesn't even exist. So I'm putting a lot of ideas out there. I don't know if any of them are true. Tell me what's going on.
I'll tell you what's going on.
Thank you.
There are, it depends, you know, which is mostly a correct answer doing IT stuff, you know. Doing a WordPress, if you start off with a WordPress website and you decide, okay, I want to have this website transformed into a static website, you could use some of the plugins that are out there. There are plugins out there that you can install on your WordPress site, and you basically just press a button and that will generate a zip file for you, or will contact a Git repository where your static files will be stored. And there are also other CMSs out there that basically generate a website for you. You mostly use that on a local computer. You build the website there either by yourself or with a team. You export that, or you commit that to a repository, a Git repository, and you connect that to your hosting platform. So those are basically the two options that you have there. And as soon as you put your static website in a repository, it's very easy to connect that with Kinsta Static Site Hosting. You just point your hosting account to your Git repository, and every time you have a new commit, basically a new version of your static website, Kinsta gets a ping and deploys your repository to Kinsta Static Site Hosting.
Okay, right. So I think one of the bits that I definitely missed there was you're not hosting the WordPress website. So it's not like you've got a WordPress website which comes to life, you interact with it,
you shut it down again. In the scenario you've just said, and I can see Marcelo sort of shaking his head at me, so there's more to this, but I'll just finish this little bit. There's one way you can do it. You can have it local. You could have it somewhere else on the internet, and then you could connect it to, let's say, a Git repository, and Kinsta will then be, you'll set it up in such a way that if anything changes on the Git repository, the Kinsta static site generator will go, oh, give me that, and it grabs it. Okay, but maybe there is an option to have the website on the Kinsta hardware as well.
No, oh, definitely. Yeah, you can host your website, your WordPress website, with our hosting. You can add a domain name to that, but you also get like a temporary domain name, like mywebsite.kinsta.cloud, and that domain name is already accessible through the internet. So if you want to have form integrations or other integrations that a static site interacts with your WordPress site, that's already possible. So you can host it at Kinsta, and you can also build it on a local computer with a local team or by yourself.
If you host it with Kinsta, does that website stay alive the whole time, or can you kind of put it to sleep, if you know what I mean? Because obviously if the purpose of that is to interact with it whilst you need it, and then for the period of time where you're not interacting with, you kind of really don't need it. So is it possible to kind of make it dormant or anything like that?
Really making it dormant as in not accessible,
right?
That's not really an option we have on the platform.
Okay.
Except for removing the website.
But okay,
that would not be very smart to do, I think. You know, if you have a WordPress website that is low traffic and kind of connected to that static website, you know, you could just basically start off with a very basic plan and have that website up and running and connected to a static site.
Okay. All right. Thank you. What's the kind of ideal from your perspective? Where seems to be the kind of ideal target audience for this? Maybe that question doesn't have an answer and there isn't a perfect target audience, but have you discovered that it is mom and pop stores? It's the smaller brochure websites, or can it go kind of medium size or even enterprise? Where are you sort of pitching this?
It depends, again.
There we are.
It really depends. You know, I gave a talk on WordCamp Vienna a few weeks ago, and also about WordPress in combination with static website hosting. And what you see is that there are plenty of opportunities for a certain kind of websites to be like transformed into a static website. And those are basically the websites that require little to no interaction with the user. They have no personalization, so you don't need to log in, and you don't have any processing needed in the backend, as in checking inventory or updating inventory in a web shop or those kind of things. So if you have a small company website from the local bakery where you just say, okay, we have these kinds of breads that we sell, you know, a story about the company, that is a perfect candidate to consider making that a static website. Because, you know, you need to generate it once and every user gets the same website. You don't need any tailored options there.
Okay. Yeah, I get it. I'm guessing also, you know, there's an interesting juxtaposition here. If you're an agency owner and a proportion of your clients fit that sweet spot and they're really not interested in the conversation of, okay, where am I going to host it? They just want to know that it's alive and active and it's quick. So Google likes my site. It's kind of an interesting idea to, as an agency, think, okay, this subset of our websites could be turned static. Let's just make them static. You as an agency owner are going to make savings. We'll get onto the pricing in a minute. There was the word free on the page there. You'll make savings. Your client will still be happy because they got a fast website. So it's kind of an interesting economic argument stacking up here. So
it definitely is.
What's this free business all about then? How is it that something like this can be free?
Yeah, it's free because, you know, we like to contribute to our to our clients, you know. And why it's free, I can tell a little bit about what actually that free means. You know, you can host like 100 static sites
Whoa.
On your account. So if you have a lot of clients that fit like the local bakery website, you know, you could really consider, okay, I pay an X amount of money right now for WordPress hosting. You know, you might have a big plan to host all those websites, those WordPress websites. You could maybe pull a few to static site hosting, and you could reduce your cost that you pay for your WordPress plan. You can have 100 gigabytes of bandwidth per month. So that's really a lot of data that's going to be transferred. And the free thing, it comes because it actually doesn't cost us any money to host it.
Right. Okay.
And it's the secret of the trade. We cannot tell exactly what's happening there. But, you know, if we don't have to pay anything to make our clients or to have our clients host a static website, why would we charge money for that? Looking at it commercially, of course, you know, there should be a business model behind something that is free. You know, there's a lot of free services on the internet, and with a lot of these services, you pay with your data. In this case, you do not pay with your data. We just see there's an opportunity for us there that if you are considering static websites, you might also do something with WordPress, or you might also do something with other applications, maybe a JavaScript framework to build your websites or a Laravel app. And those are applications we can also host, but that's maybe subject matter for a different talk. But, you know, there is a business model behind it, and yeah, it doesn't cost us any money, so why would we ask money for it?
Okay, so in common parlance, you might term that like it's a loss leader. You're, yeah. You know, you put out this nice offer, and the hope is that a proportion of the people, if you discover new clients, that maybe they'll, you know, get into WooCommerce and start to use the other bits and pieces that Kinster offer.
Okay, yeah, so definitely. We already see that. You know, we also see that clients that have WordPress websites, they move a certain amount of WordPress websites to a static site hosting solution, and that's perfectly fine. You know, yeah, it costs us money because, you know, we earn less from customers using a free service than using our paid WordPress service. But
yeah,
you know, on the other hand, new customers come in and see our other offerings, and yeah, that basically pays the bills.
One of the things about going with a bigger hosting company, which, you know, you are, is the idea of like a CDN. You know, the load gets spread around, the resources, the assets, whatever it may be, get spread around the internet, so that somebody in Australia doesn't have to go that far in order to retrieve that image. Everything's quicker, everything's speedier. Do these static sites receive that same treatment? So if I built a static site, would it get spread over your global network of servers in the same way?
Definitely.
Oh, nice.
You've done your research well, Nathan. Very good.
Woo!
No, what we do for static site hosting is also, since we also have our WordPress plans integrated with Cloudflare and with all their services, our static site hosting uses Cloudflare Edge Network. And that basically pushes your website to, 260 plus locations around the world. So if you have a static website that needs to be fast, there's a big chance that people are going to access your website are going to use a local or a very close by server park that hosts your website.
So it's a nice CDN network, which is fast. Static files themselves are fast. It's almost like you're going back in time. You're serving up the site before somebody's even decided to hit the button. But honestly, I know I'm joking about that. Okay, there's no metric that you can put on this probably, but how quick do these things actually feel? You know, if you had a brochure site for the plumber down the road, for me, is it that beautiful experience where you click a button and it's like, boom, you hit the button to get to the next page and it's just there?
Yeah, I'm nodding my head here, but people can't see that. But yes, that's what it is, because the only thing that needs to be done is a file needs to be retrieved and needs to be sent to your browser, and your browser needs to interpret that. And that happens, you know, with a lot of us using state-of-the-art laptops or desktop computers or even phones. You know, those are fast enough to build an HTML site in milliseconds. And when you click a link on a static site and that goes to the same site, not to another site, it's like the instant experience. You know, you click a link, and as soon as you let go of your mouse button or stop tapping your screen on your mobile, the new site or the new page is there. And that's basically what it is. And I wanted to actually compare it to like the old days. In the old days, we had slower computers. So it wasn't that instantly, except when going really back when we only had text in our browser and no other stuff. But that's, well, way back.
Yeah, I remember it though.
Yeah. Me too, yes.
But it is, honestly, from an end user perspective, there is something, I may be being terribly nerdy here. You know that moment though where you get that, you go to a site and it is literally instant? It's quite jarring because a lot of the internet is not that, you know, and we've got to the point where 2 seconds, you know, I'll go off and read the newspaper or something. And when you see that and you get that moment where you click the button and the page is there, it's almost unbelievable. You know, you kind of, your hand is still in the way of the phone by the time you've pulled the finger away, and you're kind of not sure, did that do anything? Or is I'm still on the same page? So that's beautiful. Your end users, you know, the people that are surfing your website will love that. But also Google is going to love that.
Yes.
You know, you go onto the Core Web Vitals test suites, and I'm imagining that the results are kind of generally green.
They should be definitely green. You know, there are always websites that manage to not get to green.
Oh, but bless.
You know, they would need to consult with someone that knows how things work.
The 7 megabyte image, which ends up as a thumbnail, or something.
Sure,
like that.
If you put a 7 megabyte image on a static website, sure, it will load slower than if you use an optimized version of that image that would probably be just 100 kilobytes. You know, that happens.
But it is, yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay.
Let's just go into the. Well, I'm going to call it hybrid, and this is totally new to me, right? So, if any of this I get really, really wrong, do forgive me. Just school me on this. At the bottom of your page here, you actually talk about the fact that you could have this like hybrid model almost, where you've got a static site, but possibly with dynamic parts. This is something I don't know anything about, so you're going to have to explain that. How is it possible to have a static site into which dynamic content can be inserted? And we're on audio. I guess we got to keep it on a certain understandable level, but you go a bit nerdy if you like.
Yeah, I can get a bit nerdy. And when I was in my agency time, which is about 5 years ago now, I liked all the techniques that happened around WordPress. You know, if there's a client asking for a solution, I was already thinking, okay, how can I build this? And then you build it with PHP, with your WordPress database, and those kind of things. If you start off with a static website and you want to have some kind of interaction, whatever it is, and you need to interact with a database or with another application, JavaScript is really the tool that can help you do that. You know, JavaScript runs completely in your browser. And if you have the right things set up, you can basically have it retrieve data from a database somewhere. You know, you can have it push data to a database if you want to. So there's actually a lot of things possible with a static website. It doesn't have to be that static at all, you know. And now it might even be more complicated when I say that, because a static website can be static, but it can also be like kind of dynamic. Can I say that?
Yeah. So there are static parts of it, if you like. You know, the bits that can be static,
yes,
can be static, and the bits that,
yes,
you do need to be dynamic. I'm just thinking, I'm trying to think, imagine a situation like a shopping experience or something like that. You might be able to build something on top of that. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted. You carry on.
Yeah, it's always the question if you really need to do like a shopping experience on a static website, you know. If things are technically possible, it doesn't mean you should use it. You know,
good point.
It really depends on the use case, and it really depends on performance of the website and of the complexity of a solution. You know, sorry, you can build anything, but it should be feasible. It should be manageable. Those kind of things. People should be able to work with it. And I can think of a solution that might be handy for a static website. Let's say you want to import the latest blog post another website, or even of your own content on another WordPress website. You could build something in JavaScript that pulls the last five posts off your website and uses that. The disadvantage of that is that when you load the website, you know, you might get like these content shifts that Google doesn't like. So you have this page, I'm pointing out here, but doesn't matter, we're on audio only. But you have this page, and let's say in the footer, you want to have the last five blogs. You can also do that on a real static way. You know, if those blogs don't change like every hour, you could do that on a static site and just put those blog posts in a static file and put them there. But you know, that's what I said, you know, technically everything is possible, but you should ask yourself, is that the right thing to do, and do the users really benefit from that?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that on your sales page, which I will link to in the show notes, this kind of hybrid thing that you talk about, where you talk about combining dynamic content, that's kind of very much at the bottom of that page. And so I'm sort of guessing that it's kind of okay, yeah, you can do this. It's probably not for everybody. Certainly I would imagine you need to be wearing a developer hat
at this point.
So maybe for the typical brochure website, this is not something you need to worry about. Anyway, it's there, it's on that page. You mentioned earlier a few of the limitations, well, not limitations, a few of the constraints that you've got around this model. So it's 100 sites per account, which is really a lot. I mean, when
that's
you think
a lot.
About it, 100, just picture that for a minute, 100 sites, that's a lot. 1 gigabyte size limit per site. So you need to be able to get that site down to a gigabyte. So, you know, if it was a gigabyte with optimized images and what have you, represents a lot. Then you've got 100 gigabytes of bandwidth. Again, obviously, if you've got like, you know, if you're running the bbc.co.uk, don't bother. But if it's a brochure website, you'd probably be lucky to get through two or three of those in a week if it's local. But here's the interesting one, which I don't fully understand, kind of. 600 build minutes. Now, what does that mean?
Yes, I can tell you something about that. When you're building a static website, there's a ton of options you can choose from. You can use a static site generator and generate your static website locally. You can run WordPress locally and generate it locally as a static site. But there's also systems that like run from a Git repository. And at the moment you push something to that repository, you can tell Kinsta Static Site Hosting, okay, here's my repository. This contains like all the files that are needed, because it's file-based, most of those JavaScript frameworks. Here are all the files. Now build my website. So basically then you say, okay, I'm not going to build it locally, or I'm going to build it somewhere on a server, but I'm going to say to Kinsta, okay, here is my repository. This contains the new version. Now build my website. Building a website costs processing time, and we kind of limited that to 600 build minutes per month. So to compare, if you have a simple website with like 100 blog posts and a few pages, that would take around 1 or 2 minutes to build.
Okay.
So you have plenty of time to update your website. If you forget something, you know, you can do a new commit and you can have it built again without extending that 600 build minutes.
Right, but you could roll your own. You could wrap it up with some plugin that will, you know, do all of this for you. And you're using your own build minutes. But if you want to come over to Kinsta and use their infrastructure, that's obviously something which actually costs you money. And, you know, you can't just keep hemorrhaging money on all of these free static websites.
Exactly.
So there's a barrier on that of 600 build minutes. But it sounds to me, you know, that's what's spread over the month. So you've got those per month and it'll refresh on the next month kind of thing?
It will refresh, yeah.
Okay.
You cannot save it up. You know, if you have only used one build minute in month January, you do not get 600 plus 599. You know, it's just 600 per month and that's it.
Yeah,
and if you
don't
use it, you know, no worries.
Yeah, but I guess that workload for a typical agency, that would get spread out, wouldn't it? You're not doing all the work on January the 1st. You know, a little bit here, a little bit there, update that website, see where the build minutes go. Is there any option to acquire more build minutes? Let's say that I get to 599 and I've suddenly got this, oh, I need to push this thing. Can you do that, or how does that work? Is that even possible?
We like to be very flexible, Nathan. So
okay.
If that is the case, you know, we can look into that, and we can definitely find a solution for that. I cannot say here. Okay, if you need more, we can give it to you. It depends on a per case.
Yeah,
you
know, don't come to Marcel with like, I need 8,000 more minutes.
let's talk to sales.
Yeah, 604. maybe that's more of a conversation we can have. Really fascinating. I honestly think this is going to be such an interesting thing. It sounds like you've had a little bit of an uptake of it. How has the platform been used? Have people been coming to it and making use of it?
Yeah, we are seeing good growth.
Nice.
You know, I'm not going to share any numbers here because I also don't have those numbers in my head right now. But you know, we are seeing a lot of clients testing it out. We've seen a lot of people publishing sites on the static site hosting platform. And it's really fun to see what kind of sites are being launched. You know, it's basically the small websites, but also these small websites, they deserve a good place to be hosted. And we offer this platform. And if you look at agencies, you know, you already said it a few minutes back, that if you have a lot of WordPress sites that conform to the small website or small static website idea, those are real good candidates to just think about, okay, what can we do and can we maybe make our clients more happy with a static website instead of a WordPress website that already performs pretty well on our platform, but might even perform better if you transform it into a static website?
I'm going to assume that on the website, although I haven't looked for it, that there will be significant amounts of documentation to help you get through all of the bits, the hoops that you'd need to jump through in order to get this set up. But also, another question. So you said yes to that. There's documentation to help you through all the bits and pieces. Thank you. And Marcel's nodding. But also, how do you deal with support? Obviously, this is a free thing. If we start to consume your support hours, that suddenly starts to get very expensive. But are we entitled to support for any of this?
Yes. Oh. You are definitely entitled to support. Once you want to go ahead with static site hosting at Kinsta, you get a My Kinsta account. And whenever you are in the MyKinsta environment, you have access to 24/7 support through chat. And whatever our Kinsta docs cannot tell you, our support agents will definitely help you with that, because we have an extended, documentation website about, everything we host, and also static site hosting is a part of that. And you could basically find anything, you know, that we have experience with our clients. We put that in the docs section for others to find, to also like offload the number of people that need to contact support. And there's a lot in there, you know, just how to start. There are like quick start articles in the static site hosting documentation, which basically tell you, okay, how do I deploy a website using Gatsby or Astro or ViewPress or whatever. There's a Git repository linked there, and you can check out that Git repository and how does it work with Kinsta static site hosting, and you can just start with that.
Okay, that's great to know. Thank you. So as I said before, Kinsta, KINSTA.com, but go to static-site-hosting if you want to discover the page that I've been looking at today with Marcel. Is there anything we missed? I was going to wrap it up there, but curious to know if there's anything you wanted to say that you didn't get a chance to.
No, I didn't think, you know, if we were talking about WordPress plans, you know, I would be talking about all kinds of different plans we have and what the cost is. But with static website hosting, you know, it's very easy.
Yeah.
It's free.
The pricing is a big round number, literally.
Exactly.
It's a zero.
Zero. Zero.
I love that. A round number. It's zero. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Marcel, for chatting to me today about that. Really appreciate it. So, as I said, one more time, Google Kinsta and static site hosting, or just go to the URL I just mentioned. They'll all be in the show notes. Okay, thank you, Marcel. Take care. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks for being on the show, Nathan. Bye-bye.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed that. An absolute pleasure chatting with Marcel from Kinsta, all about static site hosting on their platform. If you've got any comments about that, if you've got any thoughts, go to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 375, and leave us a comment there. We'd really appreciate that. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place. Invoice clients, get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. Once more, go.me/WPBuilds. We're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. That's bluehost.com/cloud. And sincere thanks go to both GoDaddy Pro and Bluehost for their support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, that's all I've got for you this week, other than to say, please join us at the This Week in WordPress show. We do that every Monday, 2 p.m. UK time. We'll be doing that live over at wpbuilds.com/live. Give us your comments. We'd love that. We'll put that out as a podcast episode, just like this episode. If you want to subscribe to it, head to wpbuilds.com/subscribe and follow some of the bits and pieces that we've got for you over there. Okay, I'm going to fade in some really dreadful cheesy music and say, stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.